Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Melissa Alvarez. She is an author, clairvoyant advisor. She currently operates two paranormal groups. She is listed in the top 10 psychics. She's interested in metaphysics. And I should think that's enough to start the program. Are you there, Melissa?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, how are you today, Mike?
Very well, thank you. You're coming over nice and clear, which is
good.
Well,
thanks for having me on today.
Oh, you're very welcome. We get a good variety of guests on BBS, and I choose the ones that I like to talk with, mainly because I hope to have a little background knowledge myself to make it interesting.
Oh, cool.
But tell me where you started. Were you interested in the paranormal, say, for example, when you were very young?
No. not at all. Actually, I first came into my abilities, so to speak, when I was 14. Prior to that, I didn't really know anything about it. I was in eighth grade, and an elemental spirit had told me that I was going to be very sick and that I would know things afterwards, and that happened, and that was really my first experience.
Mm-hmm. So, fine. Did you mean that you had someone visit you, or you had this idea put into your mind? I mean, how did that come about?
Actually, no, it was an elemental spirit that I saw. He appeared before me and told me all this information.
Oh, right.
And it was pretty unusual, especially since my best friend was sitting beside me and she couldn't see anything, and I thought, okay, this is very strange.
Right. So was that the only one in time that you had a contact like that?
No. I mean, it's been, when I was in my 20s, I kind of pushed away from anything of a paranormal or metaphysical nature. Simply because I was afraid of it, I didn't understand it, I didn't have anyone that could help me understand it, so I kind of just stayed away from all of it. But it didn't go away, and since it didn't go away, I decided that I needed to either learn about it on my own and understand within myself how to deal with it, because it wasn't going to just go away, so that's what I did. So since then, I've had many, many, many experiences.
Right. So was that contact identified to you? Was it a family member?
Actually, it was an elemental.
Oh, an elemental.
It was an elemental spirit, a nature spirit. He appeared to me that way. So, no, it wasn't like a deceased, a ghost or something like that.
Right, so it sounds to me as though you have a certain sensitivity to these other energies, perhaps not that everybody has. So before you actually got into the paranormal, did you find that you were registering other things that were happening?
What do you mean?
Would you be aware, for example, if there was somebody from spirit around you or things like that?
Before that event, no. After that event, not really until I was probably about 25. And at that age, I realized that spirit would give me messages, like deceased family members would give me messages to deliver to their friends or their family. And at that time, I realized that I could make that kind of contact. And it wasn't really very cool with me at first. And it took some getting used to, but, you know, it did evolve in that way.
Okay, so you must have realized from that you had clairvoyant abilities. So when did you actually take it up, as one might say, as a profession or teaching?
That was about 14 or 15 years ago. I started doing readings online. I would do readings for, like, people that I knew. Not really family, because I didn't really talk to them about it, but some of my friends. What was that?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
I had a laugh then when you said you didn't do the readings for your family.
No, because I didn't tell them anything about it. I didn't think that they would understand. But then I found out later that I was wrong, simply because as an adult, you know, in my 30s, well, really in my 40s, I found out that psychic abilities run on both sides of my family. So had I said something, I probably would have gotten more guidance than I did. But, you know, I think we all make our own paths and we all have certain lessons to learn. And I don't really think, I think it was better for me to have to go it on my own and to, you know, really delve into it to understand it on my own. Because of that, I'm able to help other people understand what they're going through.
Right. Well, you certainly developed it because I read that amongst the topics you like to speak about are past life lives and things of that nature. So you evidently give past life readings.
Yes, I do. I do past life readings. I've only been doing those probably about 2 years now. I've noticed that, you know, my abilities, they keep coming. It's like when I think, okay, I can't really do anything else, then surprise, here's something else you can do now. And that's kind of how these came about. But I just noticed that when I was doing readings for people, I would start seeing, you know, and getting impressions about past lives that they had lived. And I would go ahead and give it to them, you know, the information that I received. And then they would come back and tell me, you know, this makes sense because in this lifetime, so-and-so happens and it related to that past lifetime.
So is that what you actually find you pick up are past lives that have some meaning to people's present lives?
I find that it does. you'll have to forgive me if I sound kind of congested because I am. My kids came home with some ferocious cold and we all got it.
Oh, dear.
So I'm trying not to sound like a frog, but just in case.
Don't worry. You sound quite all right.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. I brought water with me just in case. Yes, I found that, like, when I do past life readings, for example, if someone has a fear that they don't know why they're afraid of that fear, whether it's, you know, if it's a fear of water or a fear of heights or a fear of, you know, whatever,
yes.
I've been able to go back, you know, ask that person's guides to show me where this fear originated from. So that hopefully in finding the origin of it, we can go back and see what happened and why it happened, and that they can understand the lesson that was involved around the origin of that fear. And if they're able to do that, sometimes it helps them just to completely alleviate the fear. Now, it doesn't happen every time because, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get over things. But I've had that happen more times than not. So I think that's the reason I was given that ability, was to help with those kind of situations.
Yes. You take a common fear that for some reason seems to be mainly with women, the fear of spiders. Has that ever come up in a past life reading for you?
A fear of spiders?
Yes.
Not really.
Oh.
But there is, I think the general populace overall, that is a predominant threat. I mean, and not just women, you know. I think I've met guys that don't, you know, they might not be totally afraid of them, but they don't like spiders and snakes and anything, you know, in the insect or reptilian world.
Right.
And I haven't really decided why that is yet. I have some theories on it, but I haven't really decided.
Right. But I could say very briefly that my youngest son of two, right from the time he could almost open his eyes, had an absolute fear of snakes. And from various things that he did and his attachment to India as he grew up, I have to think that he probably had some bad experience with snakes during a life in India. So I think even as a parent, perhaps, if you observe what is happening, maybe you can get an idea about that.
for, you want me to read your son? Is that what you're asking?
Well, can you do it without him being here, you mean?
Oh, yes, I can. But normally, I mean, I will do this for you, but normally I don't read children for their parents. But this is a little different. I just think it's an ethical thing, because a lot of times I'll have people want me to read their grown children to see what they're doing. And so I just make it a policy. I don't do third-party readings. But your son is two. And what I sense about this is that there was a past life in India. But he wasn't like a snake charmer or anything like that. He was just a worker. And he fell into, accidentally, a pit of snakes. And the snakes were poisonous. And it was a total accident. It wasn't anything that was, like he got hurt in the course of work. You know, like he wasn't a snake charmer that worked with snakes daily or anything like that. It was a total accident. He was walking across what looks sandy. It was like a sandy area with trees over to the right. And there was some rocks there, and it was like a pit right behind those rocks that he didn't see, and that's what caused his death in that lifetime.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I'm not asking you to do a reading for my wife now, but I was going to mention anyway, when you spoke about heights, that she would absolutely faint if somebody tried to get her to cross one of these swinging bridges. You know the ones they have in some countries that they stretch across quite deep,
like a ravine
or things like that. Normally the ones that are made of rope and you have to hold on to each side.
I know what you're talking about,
Yeah. She couldn't walk across one if she had to save a life.
She's not afraid of other heights?
How strong it is. Sorry?
She's not afraid of other heights, though? Or she is?
Well, she's not afraid to go up to heights, but if it came to walking across something where she could see each side, and it was quite a way down, she couldn't do it.
It's the openness,
the open area under. Yeah.
And what is it they say about fear of heights? It's not the fear of the height, it's the fear of falling, right?
That's right, yes. Yeah,
right.
Cool.
So if you look at it that way, first of all, it's going to be the fear of falling. And, well, shoot, I'm just going to tell you. Because you were nice enough to invite me on here, but I won't do this for anybody else, if we have callers or anything. In the past life, it was in Egypt, and there was one of those kind of bridges strung up between two structures, like when they were building, I want to say the pyramids, but it was something between where the pyramid was and the thing that they were using to build it. You know what scaffolding looks like? Similar to that, but not exactly. But there was a rope over, and she was a man in that lifetime, and when she crossed over, the thing fell. And when it fell, she fell, you know, to her death.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
oh, that would be interesting. She quite likes Egypt, which I do, so there is a possible subconscious link with it anyway.
Well, you know, and a lot of times when you... excuse me. A lot of times if you can make the connection as to where this came from, then you can release that fear, because it's when you have a fear like that and you can take it back to a past life, it's not something that you have to hold on to in this lifetime. I mean, it's okay to let it go. And people find once they're able just to release that fear, that it frees them up to, you know, to do other things that fear was actually holding them back from.
Yes. Yeah, that's very interesting. I did inquire at the beginning of the program whether we had the call-in lines open, because I know when we mentioned the program before, you did suggest that you would be prepared to take call-ins. But unfortunately, Melissa, Don in the studio can't set that up.
Okay.
We've got two separate lines, unfortunately, and he can't fit the call-in ones in, so... That's a bit unfortunate. But you've already given an example to our listeners of what your abilities are. So that was perhaps fortunate that it worked out that way.
Everything happens for a reason.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I was just saying everything happens for a reason, even if we don't understand what the reason is at the moment.
Yes, indeed, yeah. I was going to mention the fact that you obviously have a lot of experiences to relate to because of your work and your sensitivity, I suppose, to paranormal things. You've also mentioned ghosts and hauntings. Is that something that you've carried out yourself, I mean, investigation of?
I don't actually go out and do investigations. I have enough to keep me busy with them coming to me and saying, hey, tell so-and-so this.
Yeah.
So I don't really go out looking for them. Also, I have young children. And my thought about that matter is my kids are little, and while they're little, you know, my kids have my undivided attention. There'll be plenty of time for, you know, doing investigations and all that when they're out of the house. So, you know, right now, no, I don't go out and do investigations, but I have helped people who are paranormal investigators. They may contact me for, you know, to give them impressions that I'm picking up about a building or a situation or, you know, some place that they're going to investigate. And what I usually do is I will tap into those energies and give them everything that I see, and hopefully that will help them when they go there to do the actual investigation.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of like being an off-site participant.
Yeah. I see you also have an interest in crystals. Where does that figure in your life or the work you do?
With crystals, not so much.
No?
You know, I like them. You know, I think they're pretty. You know, I don't actually use them. You know, to me, there's all kinds of ways to divine things or to predict or to foretell things that are going to happen. Yeah. When it comes to me, I look at things like runes and tarot cards, crystals, all those kind of different things, pendulums, all that stuff. To me, they're just tools. Now, I'll do a tarot reading because people like to do, you know, they like to get a tarot reading. But when I do a tarot reading, basically what I'm doing is just using the cards as a tool to confirm what I've already picked up on the energy from that person.
Yeah.
It's not, for me, it's not something that's necessary. I can do a reading just off of energy without having to have all of those things.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, indeed. I'm sure from a point of view of the person having the reading, of course, it makes it more interesting to see the tarot cards spread out, doesn't it? And some people have an idea of what they mean, and they're probably trying to interpret it themselves.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's why people like that. But, you know, like for me, I had a reading years and years ago, and the lady, she pulls out a deck of just playing cards. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she did the reading for me, and she's like, well, you know, you're going to be making a living, or you're going to be, you know, a psychic in the future. And I just laughed at her, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, but why do you have those cards? You know, and she told me then, she's like, these are just a tool. You know, I'm reading you, and this is just something that helps me to focus. And at that point in time, you know, I was like, what, 20 years old? I didn't understand what she was talking about, and I surely didn't believe her that I would be, you know, being interviewed and being talked, you know, to as a psychic. I never thought that would happen at that age. But she was right. And, you know, I have to agree with her that those are just, it's just a tool. You could use anything. You could use sticks if you wanted to. You know, it's just a tool to help you focus on the person's energy.
Right, yes. Yeah, I think most people who do readings that way would probably admit to the same reasons. Although, there are interpretations for the cards. I suppose you can use both.
Yes, you can. I mean, there's some people who are excellent with the tarot, you know, who know what each card means and if it's reversed. And, I personally, you know, don't get into every little definition for the card, you know, and if it falls behind this, it means that, and if it falls before that, it means something else. And, you know, to me, that's just too confusing.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff, you know, to remember, you know, when it may not have anything to do with me picking up, you know, something that has nothing to do with what that means. I don't know. for me, it's a little different. I don't really do tarot cards the way everybody else does them.
I see you're also a little bit of a romantic because you write romantic fiction. And I wondered, why do you get into fiction when you probably could write so much about actual experiences?
I do both. I do both. I like to read a suspenseful page-turner book. And I like books that have happy resolutions and happy endings. I also like to see how a man and woman can, you know, meet and develop a relationship and overcome obstacles, you know, to have their own happily ever after.
Yeah.
So because I like all those things, I reviewed at about.com. I was a reviewer and ran the romance fiction site there for a couple, almost 3 years. And I kind of really found out about romance fiction then, and so I'm like, well, I'm just going to, you know, write one. And I saw the whole beginning of the book play out as I was falling asleep one night, so I got up and started typing. And I wrote that book in about 2 weeks, and then I played around with it for 6 months, polishing and editing and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it got rejected at the first place, excuse me, that I sent it to. So I ended up opening my own publishing company, and because I had reviewed it about.com, and a lot of people in the industry knew me from there, and because I was the owner of New Age Dimensions, the publishing company, I didn't really want to release the book under my own name simply because I wanted it to either, you know, flop or do great on its own.
Yes, yes.
The book did extremely well. It won awards. And I was very happy with it. So my pen name is Ariana Dupree. So because I write fiction, now you'll find in my fiction that a lot of the main characters have paranormal experiences. They have psychic abilities, but it's still a suspense, and it still has romance in it, and it's still hopefully a page-turner that, you know, the reader can't put down until they're at the end. So that's what I try to accomplish with those books.
Right.
Now, I do write metaphysical nonfiction. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I do write metaphysical nonfiction under Melissa Alvarez. That's under my real name. And I've got 2 books coming out with the Lotus Circle this year. And I've got another book that's almost complete, and it's basically my mentoring program, you know, to teach people how to use their abilities, how to understand their abilities.
Right. Yeah.
But I haven't decided what I'm doing with that book yet. I don't know if I'm going to look for an agent, if I'm going to submit it to the a publisher, you know, without the agent, or if I'm going to publish it myself. I'm kind of up in the air about where it's going to go.
Right. Now, I notice you have a number of websites.
Mm-hmm.
Is all that information about your books on any particular one that people can go to?
It is. It's actually on Melissa A. It's M-E-L-I-S-S-A-A .com. And that's
okay.
Melissa A for Alvarez.
Yes. Right. We've cleared that one up then. evidently, from what you said, you do find it easy to write these romantic novels. Have you written very many?
I have 3 that are out right now. Night Visions is paranormal romantic suspense. And then I have a novella, which is, it's a short, it's about 25,000 words. So it's a short story. It's a little longer than a short story, but not as big as a novel.
right.
So it's in between. And that one's also...
Never heard of one like that.
Yeah. It's a little, you know, a little one. But it's paranormal romantic suspense, and that one, you know, has a ghost. Well, both of those two have ghosts in them. And then the third one is Talgorian Prophecy, and that one is paranormal romantic suspense, but it has a bit of fantasy in it. But it also, the main character has all the same psychic abilities that I have. So I gave her, you know, everything that I could think of. She actually has a couple of things I don't have, but I can't tell you what those are. It'll spoil the book.
It's really you in disguise, then.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I try to do is, like, when the character has psychic abilities, even though it's fiction, I try to use that as a teaching tool for people, you know, by seeing how she deals with the ability, how it works for her, how she uses it, and how she feels about it. That may open a door to them to say, okay, now wait a minute. I know this author really has psychic abilities, and, you know, she's given these abilities to her characters. Now, maybe this is what's happening with me. And I've had people to read my books and write back to me and say, you know, I never really knew what that was until I read it in your book, and now I understand that I have that same ability, but I understand it better after reading your book. Which, you know, that makes me feel great because I accomplished my job, you know, by doing what I did in the book.
Yes, indeed. Now, from what we've already said, you clearly believe in ghosts. 2 points there. I wonder if you've ever seen any. And what do you think about the opinion, say, of there being evil entities around? I mean, have you ever come across that yourself?
I'll go in order. Ghosts, yes, I do believe in them. I have seen them before. Once when, you know, everybody has ups and downs in life. Excuse me. And I was in the bathroom brushing my hair, and I happened to look up in the mirror, and I saw a little blonde-headed girl standing in the doorway. And she goes, everything's going to be okay. And I turned to look at her and said, what? Because I didn't understand. And she was gone. And afterwards, you know, our whole lives just basically fell apart. But
really?
Everything was okay. Yeah, everything was okay in the end. You know, and it was more like, you know, don't worry, you're going to be all right. And that never has left me. Now, as far as evil entities go, yeah, they're out there. Yeah, I've had dealings with them. No, I don't want to talk about it.
Right, okay. I mean, all I will ask you about that is, did they impose themselves upon you rather than you call them up?
Let me just say this. Anybody who wants to call up evil entities is out of their mind. I mean, why would they want to do that? People do it, though, and I just don't get it. I mean, you know, just leave them alone. They're not good. They can cause damage. You know, they can damage people's lives when they don't even realize what's going on. So just leave it alone. I mean, that's the best thing in the world to do. They are out there. They can try to put themselves on you. But I'm a firm believer in, excuse me, I'm a firm believer in you can keep them away by protecting yourself with God's white light. And if you do that and you protect yourself, then no, you have free will. So they can't impose themselves on you unless you're asking for it. You know, I know people who have asked for it, you know, and I don't even think they realized at the point in time that they did it, that that's what they were doing. So you really have to be careful, like playing with Ouija boards, gateways that you don't, you know, not sure what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, don't mess around with it. You know, get somebody that knows that can teach you because, you know, I've known people who do, you know, the writing. What's the name of that? It totally slipped my mind. Automatic writing. They'll do automatic writing. But there's no, like they haven't asked specific kinds of entities to give them messages. And then when they read back what they've written and it's, you know, some horrific evil thing, then they're surprised. You know, don't be surprised. You're asking for it.
Do you think that some of these type of contacts are simply earthbound spirits?
Or simply what?
Earthbound spirits.
They can be. They can be low level.
Yeah.
They can be, you know, it can be. I think it can be.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on a little bit from there. Amongst the various things that you talk about, we have already spoken about past lives and past life readings. What I had intended to ask you, although I think I already know, is whether you use any special method to take people back to past lives, such as hypnotherapy, but I believe you do it without.
I do it without. Yeah. Hypnotherapy, I really think if you're going to do that, again, it's one of those things you better know what you're doing before you start messing with stuff. I think if you're a certified hypnotherapist, okay, it's fine to do it that way. With me, I don't really need to do it. I mean, I don't need to put somebody in a trance and take them back because I can simply tune into the energy and I see it right before me. And I just have to type as fast as I can to get down everything that I'm seeing. You know, and I'll see, you know, the scenery, what the person's wearing, you know, their name, you know, what year it is, how they're talking, what they might be having a conversation with somebody with. And all those things, I put it down. I don't know why I'm able to do it that way. It just is.
Sounds very good. Now, coming on to psychic abilities, I believe you feel that anyone can develop that type of ability.
Sure.
Tell us how you think that is possible.
Well,
what would they have to do to develop?
Okay. Sorry, I had to get a sip of water. At least I'm doing good. I'm not coughing my head off. I was like, oh, please,
you're doing
let me start
good.
Coughing. Okay, first of all, I believe that everybody has psychic abilities. Some people, it's like an athlete. You know, some people are star athletes. You know, they go to the NFL or the NBA or whatever the team is they play for. And then there's other people, you know, who are just the starters or, you know, they begin the game, but they have a basic, you know, understanding or they may not even have any understanding, but they're, say, intuitive. You know, a mother's intuition, that's psychic abilities. You don't call it that, but that's what it is. People who have dreams, and then the dreams happen. Is that psychic ability? Sure it is. People who want to know more about how they're perceiving things and how they can develop their abilities, my best suggestion is to get any book that you can get your hands on and read it.
Yeah.
And read about a wide variety of abilities. You know, read about psychometry. Read about crystals. Read about past lives. Read about developing your psychic abilities. You know, anything that you can find. But when you're reading that information, you want to look at it in a very logical and skeptical manner. Now, I say that because I find quite often people are really quick to just believe anything they hear, and you don't want to approach psychic abilities in that way. I don't think it's a good idea anyway. You want to look at it and see what feels like it fits with you. If you read it and it strikes true to you, then that's something you should keep and pursue further and check into that possibility more. If it doesn't ring true to you, then just discard it, because there's two reasons. First, you're just not ready for it. And second, it might not be true for you in this lifetime. Did you have a question?
I agree with you there. What about if you want to, say, develop your spiritual awareness or expand your knowledge? Is there a way of approaching that from your point of view?
A lot of people like to use meditation. I'm really big on quick meditation, you know, because I'm very busy. I have 3 kids, 4 horses, 1 on the way, you know, animals, you know, I've got dogs, we have a little farm, you know, I work, I write, you know, so, plus I do readings. So for me to find time to sit down and actually do a full-blown meditation, like a formal process, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So for me, the easiest way for me to do this, and I think for anybody who has a hectic schedule, just take 5 minutes and just say, okay, I want to, you know, get more in tune with my spiritual self. And then just focus inward, focus in on yourself and resounding clarity within yourself. Try to find that spot within yourself that is clear and that you can focus on, and then ask to meet your higher self there. And then from that point, you know, ask your higher self, which is really a reflection of ourselves, how can I better understand my abilities and develop them? And he or she will answer you. Excuse me.
Yeah,
see, I talked about coughing too soon. but that's what I would do. And, you know, again, reading is invaluable. The more you can read, the more variety of information you can have access to. And from that information, you can see what feels right to you. Now, some people are just, they're born with it. They know what it is. They are in tune with it from, you know, the diapers. So, you know, for them, it's different. You know, I think everybody has their own lesson and path to learn when it comes to their own abilities, and accepting them is the biggest thing for me. I mean, I know it was hard for me to learn to accept, you know, that I have this weird stuff happen to me, and, you know, I'm going to have to deal with it regardless of what anybody else thinks or says. And that was kind of hard, you know. It's not an easy thing.
Right.
And
now,
it also comes with a lot of responsibility.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Now, I developed many years ago, only for a period of 1 year, to try my hand at psychometry. I made certain progress, but it never really, for me, picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But is that something that is difficult to do?
I think that's something that you can either do it or you can't, kind of. I've never really known anybody who could practice it and get better at it. I'm sure there are people who have been able to do that. I just don't personally know any of them. With me, I think the big part about it, too, is just listening to your first impression. Like, when you pick, what psychometry is, for listeners who may not know, it's when you pick up an object and you can tell the history, whether it's immediate history or past history of the object or the person it belongs to, just from touch. Now, I've known instances where people, you know, have touched things to try to locate a missing person. And I've heard of instances where people have touched things and gone back, you know, hundreds of years to get information about what the object was doing then. Now, in that kind of a situation, I've normally found that when the person touched the object and got that information, that there was some kind of direct correlation between the person who owned the object now and the past lifetime and past history of the object that the psychic saw.
Mm. Yeah. That's interesting. Something that's not far removed from psychometry, I guess, in a way, is divination. Would you consider to be the best way to do that? I mean, people use a pendulum or crystals or whatever. What's your advice on that one?
Well, I think, for me, it's energy. You know, I read a person's energy, and when I see energy, I'll either see it, you know, we have seven chakras, and they're located within our body, and I'll either see the energy around where the chakra is, depending on what the situation is, and it may relate to that chakra. Sometimes I'll see the energy. Now, some people can read auras. I can't really read an aura. I mean, I'll see a white line around the person, but I don't see the big colorful lines, you know, bursting out from their body, you know, that is an aura. For me, I see auras, but I see them in a different way. When I see an aura, or, you know, I don't know what else to call it but an aura, but this is the way I see it, it looks like the energy around the person's waist. It looks like a deep river, and it's flowing around the person. And I can see multiple levels of the energy, and I can see different colors in that energy. And then depending on the flow, the depth, and whether I see, you know, bumps in the what looks like the water, top of the water, then I can tell, you know, if there's situations that are coming up for them that might be difficult, or, you know, if it's going to be smooth, or, you know, different ways like that. I think really that's, again, where reading comes in, to see what different things there are and then to take what feels best for you. Not everybody is good at everything, you know, and you got to find what your topic is that you're going to be the best at. And then just, you really, when it comes to these things, you really just have to play around with them and see what works for you.
Yeah.
Because everybody's different.
Can you see if someone has, say, a chakra that's out of balance? Can you remedy that?
Excuse me. Sometimes I will see that there... With me, it's not so much as seeing that the chakra is out of balance as it is in seeing the energy doesn't feel like it's... It'll feel... To me, it's... I'm very empathic, so it feels like it's not in line and it's not flowing the way it should. And depending on where I see that energy at, I can tell what is out of balance and what's not. But to say I'm looking right at the chakra and it's out of balance, no, I don't do that.
Now, you're also interested, I believe, in activating the third eye. So the question really is, why would we want to do that?
I think anybody who is interested in, you know, in developing their abilities, the first thing you have to do is activate your third eye. Your third eye is where you really, that and the crown chakra, which is at the top of your head, those are the two places that are really the center of psychic ability. And, you know, you want to be able to open those up so that you can get a free flow of energy between you and the universe. If your third eye is closed, you're not going to see anything. And you're not going to get, you know, psychic impressions, and you're not going to get clairvoyance or anything else that's going to, you know, it can all come to you, but not if you're blocking it. And if your third eye is closed, that's kind of a way to block.
Yes. Right. Now, come on to something that I'm sure a lot of listeners have heard about and are interested in. What is your view about karma?
Well, what's the saying? What comes around goes around, and no, what goes around comes around, and it comes back to you tenfold. Yeah, I believe in karma, but I believe in it. I think people use karma as an excuse a lot of times. Oh, it's karma. You're going to get back karma. Oh, don't do it. You know, it's a lot of people look at it as a joke too, and I don't think that's really appropriate. I think that we all have lessons to learn, and based upon those lessons, we either learn them or we don't. We all, like, incarnate in groups, and, like, you know, we must have known each other in a past life somewhere along the line, or else we wouldn't be talking right now. There's some kind of a connection that we have had somewhere along the lines. So I think, you know, what does go around comes around, and, you know, people can't be mean and hateful and out to get somebody all the time and not have something come back to them later. I mean, I just think that's the way it goes.
Yes. So clearly you, with your belief in spirit, also believe in reincarnation, which obviously you must do, otherwise you wouldn't be reading past lives.
Right, no,
you?
I do.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's going very well, Melissa. You certainly have a lot of knowledge there.
Well, thank you.
We'll fit in another couple of questions, and I think I ought to clarify which of your websites are still active and what they cover so that our listeners know. So I'll ask you one more question, and that is to do with something you refer to as soul quests.
A soul quest?
Yeah.
If I thought of a soul quest, what I would think of is that's when you're purposefully setting out to find your life lesson and to see what it is that you're supposed to learn. I think that a lot of times people go on soul quests and they don't even realize they're doing it. Now, granted, people can purposefully do this. It's like a spirit quest or a vision quest that people will go on. But sometimes when we're having our soul quest, we may not even realize that it's happening simply because if we realize it, we may not choose to do what we have to do in order to learn that lesson in order to become more advanced on a soul level. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Okay. So I think that, you know, when someone is trying to accomplish a soul quest, that they're really trying to understand the life lesson for this lifetime and to incorporate the knowledge that they're gaining and seeking the knowledge that they need in order to advance on a more spiritual level when they return to the other side. This whole thing we call life to me is growth. I mean, we're trying to get closer to God. We're trying to... Hello.
Oh, you're back with us, Marissa.
I'm back.
We were talking about Soul Quest and suddenly you disappeared on your one. Now, look, we haven't got many minutes left, but I brought you back on the program because, in all fairness, I wanted to check your websites with you. But
sure.
Tell me, if people want readings, what do they do? Can they telephone you or get that done through one of your websites?
I only do readings by email.
By email, right.
Yeah, I do them by email simply because I, you know, like this week I ended up getting sick, so I'm behind 2 days on readings and
right.
on everything else because it's hard when mom gets sick for everything else to keep going.
Right.
But they can contact me at apsychichaven.com or they can order readings also through melissaa.com. Both of those are, you know, my website.
Okay. Now, I can tell you that I do the archive write-up. So if anybody who's on the internet has missed what you're saying, I will put it in there for them.
Okay,
okay,
great.
That's covered
two
of your websites. What about the one that's melissaalvarez.com? Is that active?
That redirects to melissaa.com. But there is one other website that I run. I am a writer for examiner.com, and I cover the paranormal topic. I'm a national examiner, so my articles appear in 60 markets throughout the United States. And I do, you know, feature some things over in England and, you know, all over. I do things from around the world.
Okay.
An easy way to get to that site is to type in paranormalexaminer.com, and that'll take you right to my page within examiner.com.
Right. Repeat that again.
Paranormalexaminer.com.
Examiner.com.
Uh-huh. And
okay.
If you go to examiner.com, I'm under the news heading.
All right. Fine. What about the website Para FM?
Well, that site is I created Paranormal Fiction Month, and that's what that stands for. And I made it as a national holiday about 4 or 5 years ago. I used to have a website up on that site, but right now I lost the domain. I had to get it back, and it was just a problem. So right now there's nothing up there.
Okay, we'll leave that one out.
Yeah, that one's the three main ones are A Psychic Haven, melissaa.com, and paranormalexaminer.com. Or if they want to go see my horses, they can go to Top Hat Friesians.
Right. Okay, you sound like a very busy lady. So thank you very much for coming onto the program.
You're very welcome.
It's been very interesting talking to you, I must say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on today, and I wish I wasn't so froggy sounding, so I apologize for that.
Well, considering you've been doing most of the talking, I think you've done very well today.
Well, thank you.
No, it's been very good. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I've got a couple of minutes to announce next week's guest. So thank you, Melissa.
Okay, thank you. And I will talk to you later. Have a great
thank
week,
you.
Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Friends, yes, next Friday I have Jani Vaught, who believes we are all gifted with second sight. And her journey, she believes, is to assist everyone in communicating with those you love. She believes life is a circle and we are all connected in this cycle. And within the circle, often we need assistance in making the contact. And that is where she believes she can help. So, there we are. That's a very brief outline of next Friday's guest, Jani Vaught. So, thank you very much for being with me. I'm sure you must have enjoyed that. It was very interesting. God bless you all.